Cynthia Barkley, Understanding and Helping the Difficult Person, Session 1. Okay. So my name's Ross. I'm the host. Very excited for this session. This is Cynthia. Cynthia's been at the church for 5 years. She works upstairs in the counseling department, has 2 kids and a new grandson. Very excited to have her here and excited to hear what she has to say. So, Cynthia, take it away.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to introduce also my husband, who's here to help me, Ron Barkley, and he is the Minister of Development at the Siena campus. So how many of you have ever been a part of an LBS and you just kind of ran into some difficult people? Maybe. Let me ask you another question. Maybe, were you the difficult person? Maybe so. All right, today we're going to look at identifying what those different personalities and difficult personalities are in the group. And we're going to begin by Ron showing us a short clip of Barney and him running into a couple of difficult people.
I had no idea that why she wanted me to come to this seminar until I realized the topic, and I'm like, oh, a difficult person. So she wanted me to be a part of it because I can be that way sometimes, a difficult person. In the story, you find Barney has already tried everything he can to deal with 2 guys that were asked to leave the town, and they wouldn't do that. And he tried being polite, he tried being nice and all of this. So finally he found a little bit of a higher authority to be able to do that. So I thought, well, we may not have any bullies that he confronts in our classes, but you never know who you might deal with. So we'll watch this. About that, and I had to think about the story tonight with the, David and the slingshot, you know, that whose authority is it, you know, that you come, and that's kind of what Barney realized. He tried everything he could, and he realized then, actually, the badge represents much more than me. It represents the authority of the law, the authority of the town, the authority, I've got all kind of support, And also what I like too is that Andy wasn't too far away. And I think that's kind of how it is in classes, that you're never really alone in there. You know, you're prepared. God's given you a vision for what needs to happen, and you go in, and there's going to be things that you're going to confront. And then like Andy Taylor, there's always going to be those there to support you as well. But anyway, I'll turn it over for the next portion of that.
All right. So in groups, we're going to encounter many different personalities and difficult personalities, even in our church setting. So what's the goal of our small group, of our LBS? We're going to be fostering community, and we want to build those relationships and also promote life-on-life living. So that really means rolling up our sleeves and getting dirty with sometimes some not-so-sweet people, right? So what else is our role? We're called to help one another with burdens and direct them to Christ. And sometimes we might need to redirect those difficult people and situations and not allow a deterrence from the group's purpose. So as an LBS leader, it's very important that we take the pulse of our group and that we understand what's going on and that we don't allow situations to escalate and basically destroy the foundation of our group. So what's the goal? Is to understand and redirect common difficult peoples or personalities, and they will show up in your group because we're all human. All right, so let's look at the types of personalities that cause these difficulties. First, we have the punctually challenged. Next, the complainer. The mole, the omniscient one, the perpetually unprepared, the blamer, the pessimist, the martyr, the victim, and the sky is falling. Okay, so let's look at these individually. First, we have the punctually challenged. These people are just always late, always late. So how are we gonna handle that? First, one thing that you need to do is discuss the guidelines in the first or the second meeting. Sometimes I know in your LBS, when you first begin at LBS, the first night might just be a potluck where you get to know each other. That you might not want to scare them away with throwing the guidelines at them. But pretty soon, as you develop, it's important to mention what the guidelines are. And you're deciding on a meeting time as a group, okay? And maybe the time needs to change to meet the group's needs. You know, maybe if you've started the group and the person is coming in perpetually late all the time, talk to them individually and see how you can minimize the distraction. So if you know they're going to be late every week, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, talk to them individually after the class and just say, hey, I just kind of noticed you've been running late. How are things going? You know, inquire, get to know why they are late, and say, you know, maybe you could sit near the door or something, just not to cause distractions. And if it is a big problem and the time limit is pretty long, maybe they're 30 minutes late every time, maybe they need to be finding another group that's more suitable, and you can help them to do that and encourage them to do that, because they're not getting the most out of the group, and they're actually hampering other people in the group. And actually, the group norming tends to help with this issue when you start normalizing your group. Next is the mole. So this one's a pretty little dangerous character here. This person disrupts and undermines the group process. What they want is they want control, but they don't want the title, or they don't want the responsibility, okay? So, what do you do with these kind of people? You confront them with grace and with truth, okay? Don't sit back and be timid. You do have to confront them with grace and with love. So you're gently conveying that they will not be allowed to take over or cause the dissension, Okay? Now, the good thing about our LBSs here is that this may need to involve the next level of leadership. Okay? So you might need to be getting in touch with Eric Reed here, or if you're from another campus, maybe you need to be getting in touch with the Ministry of Development or Education at that campus, wherever they are. You do not have to do this alone. That's the beauty of the church body. So minimally, what you need to do is notify the leadership that someone is undermining the purpose of the group. Now, note to self. Some members are going to be naturally inquisitive, and some members are just going to be challenging. That's their personality, right? The difference between that person and a mole is that person is respectful. Moles are not, okay? This person can destroy your group, so you have to nip that in the bud early on. Next, we have the complainer. The complainer is nothing ever goes right. Nothing is, they have nothing positive to add. So, what do you do for that person? You listen to them. You ask some clarifying questions. What do you not do with this person? You don't agree with all of their complaints. Okay? Or apologize, at least not immediately. Okay? You need to really listen and ask those clarifying questions. And next, maybe...
Here's a question.
Yes.
Hey, can you give an example of a clarifying, like a type of clarifying question that we could ask?
Yeah. You can say, okay, give me an example of some complaint that you've had.
Maybe the material we're going through is too shallow. Like maybe whatever the book is, every time you've chosen a study, it's either too shallow or...
So, Eric, I'm hearing that you're feeling like the study is a little bit too shallow?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, tell me more about that. What would you like to see?
Well, it just seems like...
What are you missing?
It seems like maybe we could get like a deeper study, maybe like the Book of Romans or something like that.
Okay. So this isn't... kind of really meeting you where you are, what you're needing right now.
Right. Maybe we could do something deeper.
Okay. So this isn't quite as deep as what you would like to go.
Right.
Okay.
Would you bring him back around and say, hey, why don't we? It sounds like this is not as deep as you would like. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go ahead and go forward right now, and can we talk? Can we talk after the group? I mean, would you
absolutely? You can do
bring,
that.
Bring it back around
yes,
at the end of it.
Yes.
More one-on-one. Or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Do that, and you can also, well, how can this meet your need? What is this? You know, because just like the pastor was saying in the group, we all need to find that gold nugget. There's something. So what's keeping us from meeting that deeper spot?
Sometimes you can assign them something to do. You give them a little bit of responsibility, not to take over the class, but allow them, because sometimes it's, you know, it may be because they love history and there's a historical perspective they could bring on the subject that would really be enlightening, but it allows them to have an input. You know, mm-hmm. you can get them involved in it.
Yeah, when people become more involved, they are less critical. But you have to be very careful with that so they don't take over the group. So if you've got a person that's going to take over, then you have to be careful. Don't become overly defensive, okay? Because if you're defensive, if Eric's saying, well, this isn't as deep as what I would like, and you're like, well... I thought it was just fine. You know, maybe something's wrong with you. Maybe you're just not spiritual enough or something. Okay, if you become defensive, then it's about you, right? And it's hitting a nerve with you, so you need to kind of examine what that is. Because What we're doing in small group is trying to get beneath that surface and see, well, what's driving that? It's not meeting his need. What's missing there for him? And when we become defensive, it's like throwing fuel on a fire, right? Then the other person, he's just really gonna go off, and you'll probably lose that person if you continually are defensive, because you're making it about yourself and not the other LBS member that actually is the complainer. Yes?
What if you try and, you know, address that with, you know, like grace and love and like, okay, like I see you're mad, but they're still like just like really angry, and you're just, I mean, because it can be almost a distraction to mm-hmm. others. And then, because I've had like where I lead a small group, and I've had someone who didn't like how things were going, and I was trying to like get it to, I was trying to tell them like, I'm sorry, like some of this stuff is out of my control. Like I've talked to these people, I'm trying my best. And the person was still
so you were defensive.
Apprehensive.
So you were defensive. You were just saying, I'm trying my best.
Okay.
And so that just threw fuel on the fire for him, right? Because
right.
he still wasn't satisfied. So, so you know what? I hear what you're saying, man. Let's talk about this after. Let's get together after the LBS. Let's get together this week and we'll discuss it.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying.
So in okay. In that situation, the person didn't even like stick around. They just were so mad. They're like, I'm leaving. And it was like,
okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. That might have been the best thing at that point for the rest of the people in the group. So then afterwards, don't call him that night. Wait till the next day till he's cooled off, and or give him, you know, some time and check in on him. Hey, let's meet together. Okay? Don't start a bunch of emails back and forth and all of that. Meet face to face. Counterattack. So, kind of like defensiveness, you're going to come back with something. Okay? Anybody have these complainers in the group? We have one. Okay? All right, so it's pretty common. All right? Omniscient one. Oh, these people, they think they know everything. And nothing you say that they don't seem to know. They know it all, okay? And they're going to bless you with their knowledge and their presence. Here they are, so the show can begin. So what do we do with those people, all right? You're going to convey appreciation for their input, all right? Everyone has input, right? And we're going to try to find a nugget in it. What are we going to do next? We're going to redirect by getting others to share their opinions. So if this person is talking and continuing to talk, then you can, when there's a short pause, you can say, thank you such and such for that. Let me hear from this other person, okay? And you can choose a person that you know doesn't mind responding. I would not choose someone that's shy, that's reserved right off the bat, okay? But coming off of that, choose someone that's going to also have an opinion and be able to share. And also we want to establish group norms and guidelines for sharing. So at the beginning, in your forming stage, what you need to do is really talk about, hey, this is what our sharing is going to look like. We're going to, sometimes I'll just ask, hey, share one or two words about this. That also helps with keeping long-winded people short, okay? And so you try not to interrupt, but sometimes you do have to interrupt. Try to do that gracefully where the person does not get embarrassed with that. All right, you're doing, remember, the goal is in grace and in love. That's what you're doing. And next, you discuss noncompliance and understanding. So If this person continues to try to take over, well, for example, you might have, well, that might be another slide. If you have that person that always knows everything, and so you might need to take them aside after the session and say, hey, I really appreciate all your input because I know, you know, you studied hard on this, you know this material, and I do appreciate that. And I also appreciate, you know, how you are allowing other people to share as well. I mean, you need to pat people on the back. Definitely say something positive before you go and say something negative. Even though everyone else is rolling their eyes, you know. Okay, the perpetually unprepared. This person is just habitually doesn't complete weekly assignments. What do you do for that? Well, first, that also needs to be addressed in the first couple of meetings when you're establishing your group. And also, you can creatively encourage homework completion. So you could just say, hey, if we don't finish our homework, you're going to have to add to the pot of give so much, so many dollars or whatever. And then that money will go to admissions or go to your local congregation or whatever. So think creatively and let your group decide. Don't just one person decide what that's going to be. You want the input of the group, because if you don't, then they're not going to own it. All right? Then when they forget, they're not going to want to chip in whatever it was that they were supposed to do. And if this is a problem week after week after week, then maybe you need to meet with that person individually. See what's going on with them. Hey, you know, I've been noticing you're kind of struggling with this, completing these homework assignments. What's going on for you? You know, get beneath the layer and find out. And why are you doing that? Think for yourself. Why do I have selfish motives in that? Or am I doing that really to understand and build community and help him grow in his relationship with God and with the group members? Also, brainstorm the solutions together. And we kind of talked about that already.
I almost look at this as a between like director and teacher rather than the folks given assignments every week, because I'm not sure how realistic it is that people are given homework assignments. But definitely if there's an issue with the teachers that are falling back, are you seeing things like that you would want to step in right away? Because that's, everybody sees that. It's pretty obvious when the teacher hasn't prepared. You know, that you would need to correct that right away, is whether it be having an assistant step in or just finding out maybe they're just overwhelmed. You know, they thought they could take this role, and now all of a sudden they're, you know, they can't even get their assignments done and they just need some help. So you get somebody else to step in. Does anybody give assignments? Have you ever done that in any of your classes or had assignments given?
It wasn't like assignments proper, but we would like read a chapter and there might be some discussion questions at the end of the chapter. And we wanted to come and sort of bring our own ideas about that and application about that to one another, and in a sense encourage each other to live out what God's shown you. And discovered once that a guy had dyslexia, and so reading was really not an option, so we moved to a more of a video-based study. But he was embarrassed and never wanted to say that, and I'm sure that college was hell for him. But if I hadn't gone one-on-one, I wouldn't have found out.
Right.
And so knowing that God had created him that way was a different deal than he was lazy. He truly, it was beyond his capacity, and yet he managed everything really well, you know, out here. And so...
That's an excellent example, Eric. So before you went to him, what were you thinking in your mind?
Well, it was frustrating. I mean, you're in a group of 3 to 5 people, and one person really... has no input over anything other than just what maybe you say something and they'll say, well, I disagree with that, or, well, it just seemed like he was poaching, like he was just there and we didn't know he was there. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was mooching off of the group.
Right. So it was building up kind of frustration for you.
Yeah, he just didn't seem engaged.
Yeah.
Like he didn't care.
And did it change your whole perspective hearing about his dyslexia?
Oh yeah, I mean I wanted to
let's change it.
So sorry, I didn't know that. Let's you know, there's videos, there's all sorts of stuff we can do.
Yeah.
The point of it is that we would receive the word of God somehow together.
Mm-hmm.
And out of what God spoke into us, we'd share that with each other and then we'd encourage each other to live that out.
Right. That's the importance of the one-on-one.
Yeah, we had such a very similar word. I guess you could say it's the plainer thing. He said it's too shallow. I would say this is too deep, it's too hard.
Mm.
And when we got into a conversation about one-on-one, why is that? He couldn't concentrate. He can't concentrate on reading.
Yeah.
But, so we did the Stepping Up video series instead, where at first I thought he just didn't want to do the assignments or complaining about, but he really was uncomfortable reading. So I think maybe a little bit more hard for him to understand. So we did the exact same thing in video series.
That's awesome.
It worked out and we did it kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, I mean, like last semester, my small group started out with 7 girls. And so our first meeting, we actually tried to set some standards at the beginning. And one of the things that we did to address this was realizing that with 7 girls and limited time, because it was during the week,
mm-hmm.
people were driving, one girl was driving like 45 minutes from home to get to her meeting. So we actually chose a study and a way of doing it that would allow people a lot of freedom in what they could get done during the week. Because like we've got one girl who is, she's still in her residency, so her rotation changes. We've got another girl that the nature of her job just changes from week to week, so she could be there and could not be there. So we actually decided to go through a book of the Bible, and I left them open. I said, you can use whatever commentary you want. If you want to buy a book, you can use that too. All that you're responsible for is reading the verses that we've decided to read. So if that's all you can read, then that's all you can read. And you can at least come and say, okay, I've read that, and still contribute to the conversation. But it helps to have those conversations at the very beginning, and maybe take a week or two where you get to know your group, you get to know their schedules and what will work for them, and then pick a study that's going to be that's going to work for your group dynamic, as opposed to just saying we're going to do this. And it allowed us a lot of freedom, and from a group leader perspective, it helped with the dynamics a ton, because I wasn't always worried about somebody, okay, have they read it, have they not, have I had a hard week and not been able to read it. I mean, it just, so I all that to say, we kind of took our first couple of weeks and addressed how we wanted the group to go to try to nip this in the bud.
Absolutely.
To begin with.
You look at these things on the front end and you'll have less to work through on the back end. So you're addressing these ahead of time. So take the time that you need, 1 or 2 weeks at the beginning, to set down that firm foundation.
Well, even then, you could do it quarterly or semi-annually, because you have new people coming in, so that you never forget there's always a new person that really doesn't know what's happening here.
Yeah, you're right. And also reminding these people that are perpetually unprepared that their input is valuable, that others are missing out from their hearing their perspective. That's really important to share as well. Next, we have the blamer. This person feels that everything that is going wrong is because of someone else. And it's difficult to accept ownership of their mistakes. So what do we do for this person? We're going to listen and don't immediately or quickly accept their accusations, but you're just listening. And sometimes you might have to challenge them in a respectful way and maybe redirect them to introspection. Okay, so a blamer. Any examples of blamers in your groups?
My 15-year-old daughter. That's my group, that's my family.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's just a real life example from
that's
last night.
That's great, okay.
Someone else's fault.
Mm-hmm. How do you handle that?
Not very well. She was crying last night, and
some pre-counseling session.
Well, she has actually. My family has been to see Cynthia before several years ago, but I mean, truly, just trying to listen and hear and get to the heart of the matter.
That's right.
And then to just, I'm just trying to ask her questions. Mm-hmm. Because I know if I tell her something, she's going to doubt it and deny it. But
right.
If she states it herself, she can't really deny that.
Yeah.
So just trying to ask her enough questions that she can see her responsibility in whatever it is, whether it's choosing the attitude or choosing the response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, what could you have said in that situation that would have made your coach
mm-hmm.
know that you were giving your all,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to blaming him for being so hard on you?
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to ask her those questions, and,
mm-hmm.
and it took an hour and a half, so there's
yeah.
a lot of tears, hour and a half,
yeah.
and I realized I've got three daughters, I don't know what we were thinking, and it's very complex.
Yeah.
But I love her, she's a great girl.
Yeah. And then actually finding out, well, what was going on for you in this conversation with the coach? You know, what was going on with you internally? And then she'd really have to stop and think about that.
You just come by any night you want to. You just drive her and leave her, and she just come inside, and I'll give you a mustache or something to put on, and just deepen your voice, maybe a hair, and beat her down.
Yes.
So sometimes people don't realize they don't realize their behavior.
Yeah.
You know? And I just remember Pastor Greg saying to us in a staff meeting. I don't know if it was the big staff meeting or not, but. As he would come out of the service every week, this couple was waiting on him to tell him what was wrong.
Oh.
And this went on, and it went on, and it went on. And so finally, he wrote them a really nice letter and told them that, you know, he would appreciate if they didn't do that, because what it did was disturb him enough that really affected the next session of service when he preached.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after he wrote the letter and mailed it, and he walked out the next Sunday morning, they were waiting on him again.
Mm-hmm.
They apologized to him because they didn't realize what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
But since sometimes we don't address it.
Yeah.
And he did it, you know, Pastor Greg, he's going to do it in a very, very kind way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to do it as a letter without face-to-face confrontation.
Mm-hmm. And why would we not address it?
Yeah.
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear. Our own personal fear,
mm-hmm.
and our own, really, self-centeredness of what they might think and what somebody else might think. And it might not go over too well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the one-on-one's really important. I've had a situation where someone acted like they were upset with me. So after the group was over, you know, we sat face to face and had a little chat. And as she began to share, I realized it had less to do with me and a whole lot of other things that were going on in her life.
Yeah.
And I was just a convenient target to go throw, you know, get angry at. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, in that way, just realizing sometimes they're not really upset with what you or what's going on in the group, is they're upset about something else and you're a target. You know?
Absolutely. And it just could be the straw that broke the camel's back, right?
Yeah.
Just that last little thing of whatever it was.
Right.
And then once you initiated and said, hey, let's talk about this,
mm-hmm.
then that just can diffuse everything. But if you don't do that, then you can kind of build up some bitterness, and
mm-hmm.
and then it's not community. It's not that open communication that you need. All right. The pessimist, they rarely have a hopeful outlook on life, just like Eeyore, and they can quickly just drain the group, and they tend to decline to help and offer no solutions to the issues. So what are we going to do for these folks? You're going to listen, but don't discount their ideas too quickly, okay? Because just like I talked about, you can find golden nuggets and everything. You can even find them with Eeyores, right? there's something in there that might have just a strand, maybe a thread of truth or something that you can relate to or grab on to. So next, we need to listen to their concerns and challenge them to think about possible solutions. Help them turn the tables. Hey, well, let's talk about this. What can we do to make this better? So let them be a part of the solution, which you're going to have to initiate that because they're not going to, they're just used to being Eeyore, okay? But include them and ask their input and comment on some of their thoughts that you might can agree with at, to some level. And next, invite them to pray for the success of mutually agreed upon ideas. Yes?
Just an example, like one of the best times we have in all our group is prayer time. We'll open up for prayer, what's the prayer request? We have someone, okay, 15 minutes, everything was going wrong. It's the same thing we had. It's important to that person, but it's more like you just, this person just say, okay, God's gone bad, this gone bad, this gone bad. How do you, it wouldn't be compassionate to them, but when it's going 20 minutes long, okay, what's your solution? I can take you to the solution.
Yes, sometimes when you're going over those requests, say, hey, just in a couple of words, what is this? Or when you can find a little break and when they're talking, say, hey, let's stop right now and pray for them. And then you pray for them, and right after that prayer, then you redirect it to someone else.
I'm not saying prayer time is good, but I've seen it turn that way before, just talking about.
It can very quickly with one or two people dominating. And that's the importance of that leader to nip that in the bud real quickly and redirect the conversation and you know say, hey, let's pray for that right now, and then go on. Or say, now, what, Thomas, what about you? What do you think on about that?
We have about 9 minutes.
9 minutes, okay. The martyr starts out looking good on the outside. This person looks really good because they're busy. They need to be recognized for their sacrifices. They are constantly making sacrifices. They also cause some issues that can weaken the group. What do we do with these people? Okay, they're busy. You're like, oh no, we can't say anything to them because they're busy. They're always the doers. They're always the Marthas. What do? Be aware if someone is constantly taking on tasks. Okay? Are they taking on every task that the LBS is put out there? That's a red flag for you, okay? Encourage the spreading of responsibility. You don't want one or two people doing all the tasks. You want to spread it out to create ownership of the whole LBS group, right? The victim uses past hurts as an excuse for not moving forward and focuses on themselves and constantly needing help. What do you do for these people? You love them, but don't enable them. You're gonna set some boundaries, just like what we had talked about, with if they're talking and needing prayer or whatever, you're going to shorten that time by pausing. When they pause, you kind of interweave there and redirect the prayer time. You're redirecting their conversations, and if you need to, maybe they need to be referred, all right? And on the back side of your paper, there are recommendations for referrals. So, gosh, if I have these people and I don't know what to do with them anymore, okay, what do you do with them? Call Eric. here's the guidelines. Refer a friend. When? Time with the subject is one-sided. That's on your last page. The subject is placing blame on others. The subject is in need of listening. The subject requires frequency of meeting. So if this person is constantly draining you and is requiring more than what you have to offer, send them to Stephen Ministry, okay? That ministry has been around for a long time in the center, in the church. The purpose of the Stevens Minister is to walk people through life, through hurting events, through illness, disability, death, discouragement, marriage problems, job loss. So these are Stephen ministers. They're trained to walk people through this. And so when you start to feel the drain, refer these people, okay? Now, what if they need something more than the Stephen minister? What if they need to actually have professional counseling? You can refer them to the Juliana Poor Counseling Center. And those referrals should be if subjects have difficulty maintaining basic functions of life, or if they show significant weight loss or gain. The subject's ability to cope is in a downward spiral, and it just keeps going further down, further down. They're almost hopeless. The subject mentions suicidal thoughts. Okay, those are times when you really need to be seeking outside support and referring these people out. Now, sometimes we might think, oh, I can't do that because I need to take care of them. No, you don't. Okay? If it's a drain on you and it's outside of your realm of expertise, then you need to refer. Remember, there's lots of good things, but what is it that God wants you to have on your plate? Is that something He wants on your plate or not? Next, they can't afford the professional care. They need a counselor, but they can't afford it. Well, the good thing about our center, Juliana Poor Counseling Center, is that we offer fee adjustments. We have never turned anyone down because they could not pay. And so that is a tremendous benefit to our church and our community. So use it and tell people about it and say, hey, call, get help. And it kind of brings down that stigma of counseling. Yes?
Yeah. I would add one area for referral as well is if there's a threat of harm to others.
Oh, yes.
Is sort of an immediate, you know, you need to let me know or let Carolyn know, but also let's help them, especially in our culture today, mm-hmm. where someone rides the victim card for a long time, yeah. they can become very bitter, mm-hmm. and then they can act out on that bitterness. And so we really want the first response, the most loving response that we could give is to not allow things like that to go unnoticed or unreported, and mm-hmm. you know, that to
Absolutely.
Truly try to help them get the help they do need, and we've, I think our road group leaders have done a really, really good job in general at our church in that. Not that there's been a lot of those episodes, but there's been positive intervention that has happened, you know, and so that would be the other one. You know, harm of self, of course, and depression, and I can't keep my job anymore because I can't focus, and but that other side of it.
The other side, which is the more severe side, is if, like Eric said, harm to yourself and an immediate harm to self or others, you call 911, you call Eric, or you call Carolyn O'Neill and let them know what happened in the LBS group. Definitely. Okay? Next person is the sky is falling. Often stressed out and in crisis. Even consider that just the menial issues of everyday life, they're life or death, life or death. And they're extremely sensitive. What do you do for these? Avoid sarcasm about the situation.
I.e., I can't talk.
That is like throwing fuel on the fire for them. Okay, next, listen but do not discourage irrational, irrational thinking. With discernment, point them back to the truth in the scripture and rational thinking. They do have to feel heard before you go telling them the rational thinking. Okay? Listen to them. Offer to pray about the situation. Don't immediately start saying, hey, let me pray for that. You ask them. because they might not want you to pray for them at that point. And so we have to respect that of where they are. And next, check in on them during the week. Call them later in the week. How's it going? I know it was a rough day the other day. How are you right now? Okay. Sometimes someone might just be having a really bad day. And ministry moments, they might not be convenient. So we have to be flexible and sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leadership. And sometimes the agenda might have to be modified some. So what are you asking yourself as you're working with these people? Where am I right now? What is going on inside of me while this person over here is in crisis? And how can I move beyond my own personal discomfort and minister to that person? Because you might have a bunch of different feelings going on for your for you. Frustration, anger, like, oh, here we go again, you know, inconvenience. So how can this group grow closer through this incident? And what would happen if this person was surrendered to the power of Christ in their life? So thinking beneath the surface. Four grow groups, don't only be empathetic. Empathy alone assumes that growth occurs when people feel understood, being broken, and repentant. And don't give advice too quickly. Remember, you need to wait a minute. Don't offer to pray too quickly. And don't suggest professional help too quickly because you feel uncomfortable. Do's, be present without judgment. Be curious and be discerning. All right. We do have a suggested growth group covenant that I think you've gone over in a different class, but here is an outline of that for you as well.
I have a question.
Oh, yes.
What happens if, like, with any of these types of people, and it happened like in front of the rest of the people in your group, and they all are wondering like, well, what's going on, and they genuinely like want to know so that they can pray or something, how do you address that with them without, because I don't want it to like be gossiping and be like, oh well, this person is doing this right now and is like causing this dysfunction, you know, or anything like that. How do you just, do you tell them, oh, you need to go talk with them yourself? Or, like, as a leader, how do you take care of that situation?
If it happened in front of all of the group, the next time you meet, you can say, hey, you don't want to go details.
Right.
You're just saying, hey, we struggled last week with XYZ short, and we're moving forward in this way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just... don't break confidentiality.
Yes.
I mean, I'm telling you, please don't. Encourage, if someone is legitimately curious, encourage them to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm not at liberty to say, but I know they would value your friendship mm-hmm. right now. They would value your encouragement right now. And ultimately, for that other person, if they get to a spot where they feel like they could come to the group, say, hey, you know, it would really impact the group if you could share this part of your story with everyone. I know that God has touched my heart through this, and I know that we all love you, and we would love to pray over you, but no one else knows about this except for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're comfortable, I think it would be awesome if you could share that.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me know, and we'll set that group aside, and we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that will give them some liberation in that area.
So if it happens outside the group and somebody in like the group, the rest of the group says, oh, why is this person not here? And it's because like a person's not going to be coming back because things just weren't working out. Do you just say, oh, it just didn't work out for them and leave it at that?
I'd direct them back to the person.
Person.
Mm-hmm.
Their story is their story to tell.
Right,
right. And the greatest harm we will do is violating that.
Yeah.
Unless it's at risk of harm to self and harm to others.
Mm-hmm.
at which time it's not their story, it's going to other people's stories, and the more loving thing there is to get the help they need.
Right. And so, like when I said, wait till the next week, I was assuming that that person was back, that we weren't talking about them when they weren't there.
Well, I guess it's an easier situation.
But, yeah. Confidentiality is extremely important, because you don't want, word would get back to them that, oh, they were talking about me in group. So always refer back to them.
And that'll give everyone confidence in the group, truly, to know that what's said in group stays in group, and what's shared one-on-one will stay one-on-one, and it will give you deeper, more meaningful friendships over time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we all want, but we struggle sometimes to find.
Yeah, well, we had that in the men's group on a Thursday morning, where it was very private 2 months ago, and to pray for him, he came this Thursday and said, but what I'm going through, I think the group needs to know, and I know they'll pray for me, and I want them to learn from my experience. And then he shared. It was very meaningful, but it was on his agenda, his time.
And see, what happened is they started going deeper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were able to build that trust, and he had confidence that confidentiality was not violated.
Okay. Mr. Host?
Any other questions? But I want to cut this short.
Yeah,
okay, got questions.
Yeah, we probably got it.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Thank you, Cynthia. One last housekeeping piece. Cynthia, if you could pick a number 1 through 11, we've got a little gift card to give away to somebody.
5.
Number 5, Zach.
Give it up, Zach!
Yeah, Zach!
I hope you're an iPhone user. Fill this out, but you should be.
Okay.
Anyways, thanks everybody for coming.
Thank you guys.
And enjoy the rest of your night.
If you're a Grow Group leader and have not been to Grow Group 101, the training 101, that's also offered the third hour. And we'll go into detail over the idea of grace and commitment and confidentiality and transparency and all of those areas. So what she referenced here, the third hour, we'll go over the basics of a Grow Group. And I think that's, if you're in Summit and you've never been through that, please go through that third hour.
Hey,
Ross,
look
at that
green
sheet
where people
are
signing
out.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's Al.
Is that your husband?
Oh,
did you?
In the hall. I don't think you recognize him.
Probably not.
I was talking to Alan.
He's, you're off his radar, too. Yeah. He wasn't thinking.
But how are the girls?
They're good. You're home.
3 home with babysitter with Rylan.
Okay.
And then 1 to bed with Ida. Okay. People are over.
All right, I'll see you later.
I know.
And
I started answering other people in my group, and she's just...
Yeah, I have read. I like the book.
This is what we're doing.
But the stuff you were saying was really helpful.